My friends, the Almighty God, the Creator and Lord of heaven and earth, has today, always has, and until the end of the time, only one controversy with man. And that controversy is this: God Almighty has declared and decreed and says that Jesus Christ, the virgin born, sinless living, crucified, buried, raised, and exalted one, is his supreme Lord, the dictator of even the destinies in the heart reins of mankind. Mankind refuses to live in God's world as subjects to a sovereign God. That is the only issue in time and eternity between a sovereign God and eternity-bound men and women. Let me repeat it. It must be faced individually. If you miss out here, you've missed out at the beginning, and everything that succeeds a false beginning simply gets you further down the wrong road. The one controversy, I repeat, between God and man is, in language we can understand, who is boss? Who's on the throne? Whose world is this? Shall man be subject and God the omnipotent ruler? That is the issue that obtains between God and man. I wish you listen to me now as I make a statement. It is saturated with the truth of the Word of God. It is the very heart of the Word of God. And here is that statement: the sovereign rule of Almighty God in Jesus Christ the Lord will and must be settled in your life before he becomes your Savior. Christ deals with no man as Savior until his sovereign rule has been established in that man's life and heart. The whole universe was created simply to echo the glory of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this thing must be settled in your life, and it must be settled in mine, or we'll not have Christ as our Savior. Let me make three statements to you, and I want you to hear them. Oh, that the Spirit of God might burn them into my soul again as I speak them, and into your soul and heart as you hear them. The gospel, God's good news concerning his Son. Thank God for the good news of the gospel. What is the gospel in this day when every man has his own interpretation? What is God's good news concerning his world to us men? Well, here is the Bible answer, and I'll stake my life and my destiny and my ministry and my soul, and God help us, your soul, on the truth of the statement I'm going to make just now. The gospel, not another gospel, God's gospel, not something men thought of, but something that is tied to what God has and is doing. The gospel is the heralding, the preaching, the proclamation of a person on a throne at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that person is the one who was from eternity to eternity very God, but who tabernacled amongst us as a man, who was born as a little baby, who lived as a man, who died on a cursed tree, who was buried in another man's grave. The gospel is the proclamation of that one now on the eternal throne of God at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that one, a man in glory now on the throne, the Prime Minister of God, the decider of the destinies of all mankind, the ruler over heaven and earth, that one got there on a throne by the mighty power of God after he had hung on a tree outside the city of Jerusalem there to pay for the sins of his people. This is the proclamation. This is the heralding. This is the preaching of what we call the gospel. It is not just a relation of some facts or events, although some facts are facts and some events have taken place. Christ actually was born of a virgin. The Lord Jesus actually was crucified by sinful men. Christ was actually raised from the dead by the power of God the Father. Christ was actually exalted, made to sit down on the throne of God forever, settled into heaven. Those are facts. But the gospel is more than the proclamations of some facts and events. It's the proclamation, it's the preaching, it's the heralding of a person who was born of a virgin and died on a cross. And now he sits on a throne, and he got on that throne by way of a bloody cross on which the Prince of Glory died. That's the gospel. There is no other gospel than the gospel of the eternal Son of God, where he is now, not in his day of humiliation, but in the time of his exaltation, where he's been declared and settled to be Lord of time and eternity. That's the good news, that there's a man in glory, and that he holds you in the hollow of his hand, and that he owns you because he bought you, and that he can do with you if he as he pleases. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. What is salvation? That's the biggest word in the Bible, salvation. Salvation, there's nothing can be added to that. Oh, that's the boon of heaven for men. That's Jesus Christ, for Christ is salvation, and salvation is Christ. And to be saved, how wonderful. What is salvation? Why, bless your dear heart, it is a sweet bowing to him on a throne where God put him and all hell can't take him off. That's what salvation is. Salvation is rejoicing in the precious, sweet rule of the one now at the right hand of God, the man in glory who still has in his hands the print of the nails that he got yonder on Golgotha's hill. Salvation is rejoicing in the rule of Christ. Salvation is to be glad that God's Son is Lord and King. Not that we make him Lord, but that God made him Lord, and we've been made aware of it by the preaching of the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice and are exceeding glad that he's on a throne. This is accepting Christ. This is union with him. And nobody, nobody has received Christ who has not received him as a living Lord. Now all men know something about Jesus as Lord, and they say, yes, he's Lord, the good Lord, and the man upstairs. But salvation is more than confessing that he's Lord, made that way by God Almighty. Salvation's a sweet bowing at the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's people in every age have rejoiced in his lordship, and they come as subjects to him, and they prostrate themselves before him, willing to be sent to hell if it be good in the sight of him who loved them and died on a cross for them. What is salvation? It's a sweet bowing at the throne of him, the man in glory. What is revival? Oh, how we desperately long for a breath from God, for God to visit his people, for things to begin to take place that this generation will have to sit up and take notice and say, God's doing that. That isn't the cleverly manipulations of man. That's the work of God. What would revival be? If salvation be the proclamation of a person on a throne, if the gospel is the proclamation of a person on a throne, and if salvation is the ability by the Holy Ghost to sweetly bow before him on that throne, then revival would be when men love him on the throne. Oh, they say, we're so glad he's there. And they rejoice in him. Wouldn't it be wonderful in this community if this were the topic of conversation, if this was what made this community tick, that men and women are going about talking about him on the throne and their love for him. Men and women saying, aren't you so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on God's throne? Not this rebellion of the day, not this throwing aside of all restraints that seems to characterize this day, but men and women bowing and loving him on a throne. Oh, I'd give my lifelong ambitions to the fire if just one day I could spend where men are sweetly bowing to the man in glory yonder on a throne. And that's our hope in these days. God, send the waves of the Holy Ghost and strike men down and arrest men and proclaim the glory of the crucified one now on a throne, and bring men by the Holy Ghost power to adore him there and love him there, is the prayer of this preacher.